The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Hello, everybody. Just a couple quick updates before we get started in this really exciting episode of the Bullpen. Right now at Nebraska Bulls Service, the Bulls are rolling in really fast, so call out there and get your slots reserved, because even though we have expanded and have new buildings, we're gonna fill up. And one other thing, out of Nebraska Bulls Service, we're expanding, so we are looking currently for two or three really good employees. And no, you don't have to be vaccinated to come work for us. You just need to be handy and be able to work with Bulls and work with a great team environment and have some ambition. It's a great opportunity for some folks out in the Southwest Nebraska area to join a great team and work for us and help us expand. Back here in Southeastern Nebraska, Volker Siemen Center, cows are rolling in for the IVF, and that's going really well. And also here, the Bulls are starting to come in, even though it's kind of early yet, just the first part of September. Things are looking really good, and the crops are turning. Harvest is going to be starting here in two or three weeks, so things are good. Things are really fortunate. Sit back today, folks. Take a listen to this episode of the Bullpen, because trust me, this is something you're all going to want to listen probably more than once, so you get all the facts, because we've got two really exciting guests with us in here today. Okay, hey, everybody, welcome to the Bullpen today. Like I mentioned earlier, got a couple really, really good, great guests in here, and I'm going to, since I'm horrible at reading bios and getting names right and everything, I'm just going to go ahead and turn it over to the first, and nothing against second guest, but probably the main guest in here today. Is Brent. Go ahead, Brent. Tell us a little bit about you.
Sure. Thanks, Les. And it's great to be here. So I currently serve as a state senator in the state of Nebraska, and I'm in my seventh year of a eight-year tour, if you will.
Yeah.
We have term limits in Nebraska, and mm-hmm. So I'll be going into my last session in January.
Already? You're young.
It goes quick. Yeah. 40, but
like I said, you're young.
Yeah. So we'll go back. Actually, we're going back into special session on Monday to do the redistricting.
Okay.
So none of us in the legislature have been through that, but, you know, my background is in investments, and then, ran for office back in 2014, mm-hmm. was elected my first term, and then second term in 2018. And then just as of about 7-8 weeks ago, I decided to make my announcement on my run for governor. And been traveling the states.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. So we've been out on the campaign trail, really talking about the issues that I think are important, mm-hmm. and some of the subject matter that we'll probably cover today, with the show. But it's been pretty fascinating to get a lay of the land of the struggles and the challenges that we're facing at the state level, and particularly in the cattle industry.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So, Brent, I mean, you gave your bio there, but we just called you Brent. What's your last name?
Lindstrom.
There we go. We got to have that. So Brent Lindstrom, and you're running for governor.
Right. So we, State Senator Brent Lindstrom running for governor.
We got to get that part in there.
That's right.
Right. So a little bit of family history, Brent.
So my family's from Oakland, Nebraska. That's okay. Where the Lindstrom side is from, and come from an ag background. I grew up in Omaha, but my dad grew up on the farm in Oakland, and his dad, and so we've been around for several generations. Then my mom was born in O'Neill, Nebraska.
All right.
Cool. And her family's also ag in the Bassett mm-hmm. area. And actually just came from O'Neill and Bassett here last week. We were there. And so growing up in Omaha, and then getting spent a lot of time in the ag community just with my family, and my uncle still farms there. And so having a perspective of both sides, in a mm-hmm. sense, helps. But I'm always learning new things that are coming out and coming up. And we're always dealing with issues in the state, and some of those issues that we're facing, and we can talk about those here in a little bit. But it's been good to talk with ranchers across the state and cattle producers on the challenges that they're facing. And I think we may have some solutions, or at least be able to work towards those solutions.
Yeah, solutions are great. So the other guests in here today, some of you folks that have listened before are really going to enjoy him, because I know you enjoyed the heck out of him last time. And I call him Sire Bar Mike.
Sire Bar Mike is in the house.
Yeah, there you go. So give us, for the folks that maybe haven't caught the last episode, or sure, it wasn't the last one, but a few ones ago, give us a little bit about your bio.
Oh, my bio. Well, I live in Nebraska. I grew up over...
never would have guessed.
I grew up over by the Branstoke Lake area, kind of Seward, David City, Garland, Malcolm, all that. Okay, so I'm not too far from even Omaha here. So I grew up out here, went to the University of Nebraska, probably the same time you were there, Brett, and then Brent. And then... let's think. I mean, I don't run Sire Buyer. It's my full-time job now, and it's been awesome. It's the coolest thing ever. Love to see how it's been growing. Never would have thought it would have ever did that, and it's just awesome. It's fun what you can do. You put your foot on the gas and pray, and boom, you know.
You kind of took that leap a few years ago, right?
Yep. I used to do music. I know you know.
We'll get into that later.
Yep, yeah. I'm retired from that probably about 5 years ago. I've talked about this, I think, enough. Well, let's go right over that. But I love being back involved with cattle. And in my state, I'm starting to get involved a lot more on the cattle side politically, mm-hmm. and trying to get things going to help cattle. We see a lot of stuff, just like you do, on the real world of this thing. And we got a lot of drama going. We got scared people. Right. And I'm really glad we're here today to talk about all this, especially with you being here, because I know we've talked about this a lot just privately. And we got to make some stuff happen.
Some stuff's got to change, and hopefully, And that's why Brent's in here today, to maybe show us some solutions, kind of show us maybe some of the platform he's going to be running on for governor of the great state of Nebraska, and some of the things that he's done in the Senate. Mike, Brent, just go ahead and get started. Well, if you have any questions.
I want to start off. Is that okay,
Governor? Oh, yeah, go ahead.
I don't want to interrupt our governor. No, you're... Okay, we get calls all the time with a little bit of confusion on some of this stuff with these packing houses. I think they all get we're getting nailed here.
Right.
But there are some things with names, places, things. I'll set the table a little bit for you, okay? And then you can kind of fill in the gaps, you know? But they call them the Big Four. And there's four packing houses right now, and they're running about 80%. I wrote some of this stuff down. They're running 80% of the livestock processing of the whole world, okay? They say 35 million processed per year, so that's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot. So it's Tyson Foods, and IBP bought them, and China owns about 30% of IBP. So I think they're pretty much in the door on Tyson at this point in time. Cargill, which is still family-owned, right? But... there's some stuff going on with that recently. I don't know how that'll go. JBS, now that that is Brazil. That's ran by Brazil. And they process most of all of the beef. You know, I mean, they're dominating the beef field, right? And then now National Beef Packing Company Corporation, so NBPC or whatever, Brazil. Mm-hmm. And now they're saying Smithfield's coming on in. And, you know, so we might have the Big Five here. Now Smithfield is all China.
Right.
Okay. So these people are kind of built a team. It's called the NAMA, and it's the Northern American Meat Institute. Now, this institution is there to protect them. That's exactly what it is. They are there to make sure all these guys keep going, they can maintain what's going on, right? Mm-hmm. Now, the USDA oversees all of these meatpacking plants. Okay, they're supposed to make sure everything's done fair. There's already been laws on the books to make sure that none of these monopolies happen. None of this price fixing happens, okay? I don't think they've done the best job. They've been passing legislation now to remind everybody we have legislation, but they still won't. Now, these packing plants are following all the laws. They're not doing anything abnormal here. But there are some things the USDA could be doing where I'm very disappointed in a lot of this stuff. We'll get into that later. But we are represented by the NCBA, okay? And they just, this the other day, they said that they have this climate neutrality goal for 2040. Okay. But where is the market neutrality goal bill that they're trying to pass today? It's just funny to me that these, like, everyone's working on the problem, but they're going around it. Like, let's not talk about the big the elephant in the room. We'll talk about the climate goals. Well, that's great. I'm all about it. But we need to address this stuff now, because less of my jobs are about to get smaller and smaller and smaller, because people are getting rid of their animals at this point. Right. And we did talk a lot about what exposed a lot of this publicly was the fire at Tyson. Okay. The COVID, when all the workers couldn't work, that happened in our state, they basically couldn't work for like a week or two. Right. Mm-hmm. And then what was the third thing? There's something else that happened. Ransomware attacks at JBS. Remember all that? Right. It's like, oh, we own you. Give us the, you know, remember all the, it was bad. Okay. We have a problem here, because all three of those things leveled the food supply for everybody, okay? The USDA is supposed to make sure that doesn't happen, but it did, right? It did happen. So that's pretty alarming to all of us, okay? The problem with all that, what really was, I think, the eye-opener, why this has gotten to be such a heated thing, was when all those things were going down, the ransomware, the fires, COVID, beef prices skyrocketed. And our calves, when we were selling them in town, and our steers, the guys are selling, were the lowest they've ever been in a long time. We are not, that is not supposed to happen, right?
Right.
And so that's, I think, where I'll hand it off to you, because There's lots of cool things that I know we've talked about. And to help solve this in the state and the federal level. Okay, right. I'll hand it off to my buddy here.
You know, it really comes out, and you touched on an issue that, anytime I've dealt in the last 7 years as a legislator, and it's very prominent, it all comes down to power and money, right?
Yeah.
So when you talked about the four packers, you talk about maybe the fifth, it all comes down to power and money. And so are they really looking out for the producers across the state? I can tell you, as I've traveled, it does not feel that way. And I've been, you know, in ranch country, Sand Hills, Whitney, Chadron, was in Valentine talking to ranchers there. And to your point, Mike, they are feeling extremely squeezed by the big four packers, and whether they're moving towards that vertical integration. You did see prices go up. I went and bought a steak the other day, and we can touch on the country of origin issue too, but it was pretty interesting what I saw. It was a USDA label. It had United States, I think it said produced, or was something, some descriptive thing in there, but it did not tell me that it was Nebraska beef. It did not tell me that it was Nebraska beef.
Right.
And that is a huge issue that is very prominent when I've been talking to ranchers. And so making sure, you know, when you talk about this monopoly or the power structure, anytime we have those things, we need to make sure that we have a disruptor in that. And I'm pretty excited about the conversations I've had traveling the state, particularly in North Platte, Nebraska, where they are looking at and moving towards doing a packing plant out there. And those are the things that we need to replicate across the state to make sure that those producers, we create competition and people have the ability to get their product to market versus letting product just sit there. And that ties into also your exports and opening up new trade deals. I know South Korea and Japan right now are two of the biggest, but we have opportunities in Southeast Asia with the growing middle class. We just have to make sure that ranchers can get their product, particularly Nebraska ranchers, and make sure that people know that we have Nebraska
beef. So they can get their Nebraska beef, whether it's served here in Nebraska or overseas, because quite honestly, folks, Nebraska beef, I love the United States, but Nebraska beef is the best beef you're going to have. Go to Texas. Texas is a great state, but I dare you to have a steak in Texas and come back to Nebraska and tell me that, you know, which steak is better. It's obviously the one fed here in Nebraska. There's no doubt.
Well, anytime you have anybody come to Nebraska that's from outstate,
they
come and they ask, where should I get a steak? Because we are known as being the beef steak.
Exactly.
And, you know, we don't need to be all things to all people as far as our industry, but we sure should take advantage of what we do the best at, and that's Nebraska beef.
Yeah, exactly.
Our states ran off Nebraska beef.
Absolutely.
It's the number one gainer grower of our economy here.
Absolutely. And I do think with that North Platte packing, the innovative approach and the tracking and what they're doing. And mm-hmm. we've talked about that, being able to trace that back to the ranch that it was.
So
it came from.
Exactly. So, you know, it all goes back to consumer. We need to make the consumers happy in the end run. But us as producers, we need to be compensated for that too.
Yep.
So, I mean, so Brent, going forward, some of that, I mean, what are some of your, I mean, do you have some things kind of on the burner or something that you're kind of thinking maybe to kind of help promote Nebraska?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things in the short term that, you know, we talk about these issues, often policy issues in short term, long, intermediate, long term, and what can we do right away? I mean, we've talked about a few issues with K through 12 and the schools across the state. I think an easy thing is to make sure that our schools across the state are using Nebraska beef. Mm-hmm. You know, you talk about the fake meat that's being produced out there. We don't tax that. You know, if it's going to be an even playing field and we have this promotion of, hey, this is meat, then that fake meat needs to be taxed. And really it comes down to making sure that we cut the red tape. Mm-hmm. If producers out there are having a problem getting their product to market, then we obviously as a government and as a state need to make sure that we are reducing any of that red tape so they have the ability to get their product out and to consumers. And if we do that, that steak that we're talking about that was, you know, few extra dollars going through COVID and the other things where we saw that jump and getting squeezed at the bottom, those prices will come down. Anytime we supply side economics, anytime you get supply side and then the demand, and we can produce that and get that out, it helps the consumer ultimately. And then making sure that our producers, our cattle producers are able to make a profit.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that ties into a whole host of things with property tax and those issues well.
Yeah,
absolutely. And we're going to make sure we tackle that and make sure that.
So so I'm clear with some of this. So what you're saying is there is a program in the works, maybe going to go through the Senate floor or whatever, K through 12. So the kids going to school here in Nebraska will be served, whether it be Nebraska beef, Nebraska chicken, or Nebraska pork, is kind of what you're
trying to do. We'll go back into session in January. So we're going back into special session on Monday. But as we move forward into January, we're going to definitely be looking at doing those things.
So right now, where is that meat? Where is that food coming from? Just anywhere?
Well, I think it's the same thing that comes back to what meat is on the shelf right now when you go to the store. You don't know.
Right.
And I think one, it's an economic driver.
Yeah.
You talk about kids going to school, and I've, again, traveling the state and some of the towns. I mean, more than anything is making sure that, you know, the population is growing with the small towns. We have economic development there. And this really does tie in, being the beef state, being the number one leader in this. It goes hand in hand.
Yeah.
You cannot survive without making sure that our producers are involved in the economy, that are leading the economy here. And to be able to just use the products at the education level. And a lot of those kids will end up working on the ranch,
right,
eating the same beef that they were part of that ranch
just,
farm.
Just one more thought on my part before I turn this back over to you, Mike. But to me, that is an absolute fabulous idea. And especially if we could get that passed or whatever, and then maybe start going around to some of these schools in the bigger cities in Omaha and Lincoln and educating the kids that are eating these meals, let them know how good that real meat tastes.
Absolutely.
Let them know how, because many of them, when they go home, they're not going to get the opportunity to have as good a meal as they're getting at school. Mm-hmm. You know, face it. That's, you know, 100%. And during COVID, a lot of them, that was a problem. When they go to school, if they're getting Nebraska beef, Nebraska products, they're going to have some of the most nutritious, best tasting meals they had. But we, as ag people, we need to somehow educate them, go in there in schools. Hey, you know where this is coming from? Here, let me scan this. We got an app. Mm-hmm. We can scan. Let me show you the rancher that raised this. Mm-hmm. This doesn't just happen overnight. They need to know. And I think that's absolutely fantastic.
Well, they need to know. And what's interesting about that, and you try to meet kids now, kids these days, with their devices. I know that there are a lot of younger farmers, a lot of farmers and ranchers out there that are actually, because I witnessed this, I was out in Seward, and they became very popular, kind of nationally known, but they're three brothers that put these YouTube channels out to show people just don't know where their food comes from,
right?
Especially in Omaha and Lincoln. And I think tying that into having an appreciation of where it comes from, that it's Nebraska, that There's a whole other world out there outside of Omaha and Lincoln, and it's a huge economic driver and where it comes from. And I think kids being engaged in that, and I think some of those kids that are producing those YouTube videos that are showing where it comes from is hugely important, and have an appreciation of what you're eating.
And if it's going on here in Omaha and Lincoln, you know, the flyover state in Nebraska, imagine what it's like, New York, California, all these other states where they have really, really no idea.
No. So, and what no, but and not only just Nebraska, but no, letting people know that Nebraska feeds the world.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. We do.
Well, one thing to notice too, you guys were talking about fake meat. The main investors of fake meat are the big four. And that's, you know, all these cattle guys are arguing about, oh, we need to get our packing, you know, get this under control. Well, they're making moves all the way to the left of you just to get rid of the whole product. Yeah. Right. And you got billion-dollar investors in other worlds of Microsoft and all these other things that are helping fund that for them. And so they're covering their butts on this one already. There, right. So there's that. The other thing, Les, you brought up, like messaging. I came back to the cattle world, and so I'm learning. I don't know everything, but I've been totally stunned with the amount of zero messaging coming out of the cattleman world. We don't educate people about our products at all. We don't educate, like, there's no reality television shows about farming, about the family farm, about building. You can't expect these people in Northside, Queens, New York, or Beverly Hills, California, to understand what we do if we don't educate them. No. I know what they're all doing because they got great TV shows. I mean, they explain it to you.
Yeah.
You know, like, this is who we are. This is what we do. We don't do that.
No.
We do not do that.
We don't even do it in our own state.
If it is done and you let Hollywood get a hold of that, and I can testify to that here, we're going to have straw hats and straw sticking out of our mouths. It's not going to be represented in a truthful way. No. You know, there's a lot of responsibility we need to take as cattlemen for that. I don't think we filled that void. They filled it for us. We did not take advantage of branding our product and or you know, messaging it. Yeah. Okay. You know, you brought up the state. Nebraska schools need to be eating Nebraska beef. That goes for the universities too, right? And we need to tell those people where they're getting their product from. They don't even know. I mean, this is kind of how far out of bounds we've got. I mean, that is kind of like an obvious, like, that isn't happening. No, you're probably getting it from Brazil, where the beef is not regulated. They aren't doing any blood type on the animals. They're not doing any DNA on the animals. We're getting nailed with all these regulations on these animals. Blood type, DNA, genomics, everything has to be done. If something's wrong with that animal, you can't process it. What's coming in here?
Well,
what is coming into this country? We don't even know.
Well, and by the way, they own one of the,
yeah,
the four.
That's, yeah. So they own two of the four.
Two of the four. So again, comes down back to power money. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And promoting that is a first step in doing that as far as Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is even bigger than that, because you're talking about the federal delegation needing to get involved as well, mm-hmm, with the World Trade Organization. And there needs to be a cohesive stance on this, not only at the state level, but also from the feds. And I know there's a couple senators, Grassley in
sure,
Iowa, and I think in South Dakota one, that are trying to promote these things. But this needs to be a full-on effort from a lot of the Midwest states, a lot of the states that are big cattle producers.
Sure.
Producing states.
You know, you're running for governor, which is a good thing. There's governors right now trying to form this coalition to demand investigators in the USDA investigate this thing. They keep putting it up that they're going to do it, and it just falls through the table. And there's governors right now that are kind of getting behind this, okay? I think when you're running for governor, you need to demand these other boys answer that question. Mm-hmm. Because there's guys who have a lot of investment in livestock running for governor in our state right now, and it is not time to be, you know, messing around anymore. We need to know.
Yeah.
So I just ask you, I know we're friends too, bro, but I want you to make them answer that. I want to hear what they're going to say. Are they going to get behind this stuff? I mean, these guys have investments in packing houses, not Pillen. You know, I don't know Pillen. I don't want to speak for Pillen, but I want to hear how he's going to answer a lot of this stuff. I'm glad that you came on here today to show the state where you stand on this stuff, because this is a big thing that concerns our state. It concerns Omaha. I mean, we're filming this thing too, and we're in Omaha. This is important for this city.
Oh, absolutely.
Because if it goes down out west, you're not going to last too long out here. Yep. I can tell you that either. I mean, it's just the
truth. We're all in this together.
Yeah, this needs to be a statewide thing. The other thing, I don't want to forget this. As Sire Buyer, you know, we do other things, but we're evolving as a company, and we're going to work really hard on messaging for the whole brand. We're going to ride for the cattle brand, okay? And we need to start as a state movements. I know the hashtag movements are eye rolls for people, but they do work at times. If we start pushing movements about Nebraska schools, Nebraska beef, and we get behind it to educate these people that these kids that you're sending to schools aren't really getting anything from around here, and we're getting nailed on property taxes, and then the schools we're funding with all of our money are getting the product from somewhere else. I think the state needs to know that. You know,
absolutely.
And where's the disclosure on that? Where's the disclosure? Like, we need to fight for disclosure about where this food's coming from. And not only in Nebraska are we raising beef, but we're raising other things. We're raising hogs, chickens, apples. You know, I don't think we do oranges, but you know, we're raising a lot of stuff. And where are they getting that fruit? Where are we getting these vegetables? If there's a teacher with a gourd on her desk this fall, I want to know where that came from. I mean, like, we got to get some sort of disclosure on some of this stuff, because Nebraska is an amazing state, and we are raising a lot of stuff for the world. And that's good. We want to share our product out there, but we also want to make sure it's taking care of our own state and ourselves, because, you know, you got to survive in this thing. And I know you know that. We've talked about some of these guys that we've been talking to on the road, and it's a similar way I have too, right? Mm-hmm. And it's hot. It's a hot subject, red hot.
It is extremely, and I hear it, and I'm listening, and we're gonna have to take bold action to do these things. And I can tell you that as governor, we are going to do that to make sure that we protect Nebraska, we protect Nebraskans, we protect our number one economic driver in the state, which is beef, and we're going to do those things. And it's going to take some action. I think sometimes having an outsider come in to disrupt that is because you just don't know, again, who's tied to what, and you can connect some dots sometimes, but having an outside governor to come in and say, you know what, this isn't working for Nebraska. Mm-hmm. We're going to make sure our ranchers and producers are protected. And we're going to do that. Not only in this industry, but across the board, but it is by far and away the number one issue that I have heard about as I've traveled the state.
Mm-hmm. Another question I have too, you know, I don't know if we're all trying to figure all this out, but the red tape rules, you know, there's been a lot of processing plants that are trying to get going. These farmers are saying they want to form a cooperative right now. I'll just tell you, here's the ground game. Yep. They're wanting to form a cooperative right now where there's packing houses every 100 to 200 miles. There's drive-thrus. You can go get your beef. So when COVID hits, we're not in trouble with the big four. You can go anywhere to go get your food, right? And it gives us competition in the marketplace to sell our product or cattle. Because right now there's none. They just tell us what it's going to be. And that's not fair.
Right.
Because we have the best product in the world. That's where the USDA needs to be. But they're not there for some reason. I don't know why. And I know the NCBA is trying to fight for us to get there. But it just seems to be this back and forth thing going on. But I think as a state, we need to find out what laws are currently on the books right now to allow for these packing houses to go. How do we get grants? Do we get state grants? Do we get federal grants to help some of these get kicked off? Okay. And then I think we need to know as a state what's doable and what's not doable to get that started. You know, there's a lot of people wanting to start those, you know, and as a consumer, I raise cattle myself. I want to send my cattle to them. And you're going to see when we start doing stuff like that, we can decide where our animals are going to go. I think we still have a good chance at this. I mean, I love the big four. Feed the world, right? But it better be fair. Better be fair, because it's people's livelihoods on the line here. You know, I see these dispersals and all this stuff. These are tearful dispersals. Yeah. They're not like, I hope one day when I disperse my herd, I mean, it's Miller time, you know, I'll be in a good mood. But there are people right now dispersing these animals, and it's not fun.
No.
And they don't want to be. And we need to save those guys, you know, and like as neighbors to all these people, I know there's a habit in the farm world of like, oh, yeah, I'll go by their farm. That's too bad for you. Well, you're next. you know? And we need to work together to do those things. I think, Brent, it would be great if we could find out how to get these packing houses going, because I keep hearing, well, there's all these rules that just limit, they just can't get going. They stop them. There's inspection rules. It just basically kills it. Right. It kills it from happening.
Well, red tape is certainly one of those things, and whatever we can do at the state level to eliminate that red tape to make sure that we have competition is one of those steps that we're definitely going to take. And, you know, whether or not we do it through tax incentives or tax credits, but there would be a place in the legislature and at the state level where we could get involved in some of those things through that process.
Are there some states, maybe, am I wrong by saying, has Montana maybe passed something like that?
Wyoming did something during, and it proved to everybody how well that their planning was, because during COVID, they were fine.
Yeah.
They were fine. And I think they have the packing house things. There's a county in Nebraska I've been hearing about, Shelby, and they're demanding that the schools in Shelby use the beef in the area to feed their schools, yep. Right? Right. And those are just things that we can be doing to ensure the survival of our neighbors and ourselves and Omaha and Lincoln. And, you know, those things are, I think, things that we need to be doing. And there are some state movements going on. To be honest with you, Brent, I would love Nebraska to lead the charge. We have Absolutely. Three of the big four here, and we could be doing stuff as a state right now to take control of all this and start movements.
Yeah, and I think in the sense of state government, sense of the governor stepping in and walking alongside these innovators, just allow them to, because the innovators will innovate. They will determine their own fate in a lot of this. And if they're getting squeezed by outside sources or even government intervention or even red tape, mm-hmm. then we need to make sure that that is not the case and they're eliminating mm-hmm. it. And that's where the governor and policymakers can step in just to say, hey, you know, let's just get out of your way. Let you take control of your fate, work with your neighbors, work and create the co-ops, mm-hmm. package, whatever it might be, but just allow them to do it and innovate.
Right.
And people will do that. They always find a way. Nebraskans always find a way.
This is going to have to come down to legislation at some point, because yes. I'm here to tell you that there's things protecting these guys, the big four. There's not things protecting us. It's just funny how that's evolved.
Well, there's those big four. They're the big four for a reason. There's a lot going on behind them.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. We might have someone following us home
here. That's possibility. And one, I don't know, Mike or Brent, if you know this, but talking about, you know, we're talking about the fake meat. Well, have you ever noticed the NCBA doesn't advertise against that?
Yes. Yeah.
Because they can't.
Yeah.
It's in the checkoff dollar. They're regulated to where they can't. And how irritated should that make a person?
No, I totally agree.
It's just like, holy
crap.
How
does that even...
They're competing against us, but we can't advertise against them because we're paying to the fund for them to do it. It's like, shoot me.
If you don't want them to take over the food supply... We have to be putting some things in motion here little by little. You don't take on these people overnight. And I don't even want to say the word take on. We don't even want to take them on. We just want stuff to be fair.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
You know,
a level playing field.
Yeah. And people get what they deserve for their product that they're creating, yeah. You know, and that's it. That is it. If we do that as a state, we're winning, we're maintaining. And I think we could do some awesome stuff. I really do.
Yeah. It all comes down to making Nebraska competitive. And when you have the resources that we have and the workers that we have and the culture that we have, we can win. Mm-hmm. And this is the way to win
mm-hmm.
from Sorry. On a global scale.
Right. Right.
I totally agree.
So, I mean, Brent, so we'll get into your running for governor face here. What other issues, what do you see facing? I mean, what are some things that maybe you would like to touch on? What do you see kind of face in the state that we really need to kind
yeah,
of take
so,
hold of?
So I'll kind of touch on three of the main things that the issues that we kind of focus on, or what I've focused on over my time in the legislature and what I see moving forward. Tax structure and tax reform is a huge deal. And that includes income, corporate, inheritance tax, property tax, and then reform and education funding. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody across the state, is feeling too good about the property tax bill.
No.
And when your sales and income tax dollars are going to Lincoln and getting spread out to a smaller minority of school districts, while you're watching your smaller community lose population, you know, without a bank, a post office, a school, it's hard for those towns to survive. Mm-hmm. And so that ties into economic development. And to me, doing these things that we just talked about really do bring a lot of economic development to those communities. And so it's all, it all works together, but reforming the tax code, step one, right in 2023, assuming office, we're going to do that in the first 100 days is taken on, take bold action on reforming our tax code, which then ties into the school funding and how we get that in a fair process and economic development to make sure communities can survive. And there are a whole host of things that we're doing, whether it's workforce development, housing is a huge issue. You know, a bill that I just passed this last year that, that if we have some folks listening that have kids in sports, that they're traveling around just those youth athletic sports complexes to make sure that there's access and outlets for kids to go mm-hmm. do something. Yeah. They all stack up, and we didn't get here overnight. We've been in this tax code, the structure for since 1967, and to reform it, we're going to have to take some bold and big action, just like what we just talked about, but we need to do these things in Nebraska. I'm tired of the studies. I'm tired of talking about it. Mm-hmm. I'm tired of sitting in the legislature and hearing hours and hours of testimony as why can't we do this? But it's going to take the executive branch and the governor to really take charge, lead this thing, and make a difference all across the state. And that's why I'm in this race.
How hard is it to get a property tax relief or reform? How hard is that to get through?
It's difficult. Else it would have been done by now.
Why would it make it difficult?
It really, so I can go get in the details a little bit here. You have 244 school districts in the state of Nebraska. And back in 1991, the legislature adopted a formula called TEOSA. It basically stands for tax equalization. And it, as it's structured, it's needs minus resources. So where are your most needs? Well, typically they categorize that as population-based. Omaha and Lincoln, English as a second language, all these poverty, all these things stack up into that formula. Well, what happens is you have the 80 school districts out of the 244 are getting equalization aid, meaning the state steps in and pays out in the tune of about $1.2 billion towards those school districts. Well, again, going back to the fairness issue, you see valuations climbing at a substantial rate. Even the property tax credit relief fund, which we can touch on later, I don't think it's necessarily a thing that people are really excited about. If that's growing at single digits while your valuations are going up, by the way, you're population's going down. I'm not making money off one of the steers. You have your sales and income tax dollars are going away and never coming back. There's a lot of disconnect between how we fund education and it ties into the property tax issue. And unless the state steps up and does more of that funding, right now Nebraska sits at 49th in the entire country from state funding. And there's a way to restructure how we have this tax code set up. And if we readjust some of those things, we can make a substantial dent in valuations and property tax across the state. It's not just how to attack that on that side, but there's also the spending limits as well. Mm-hmm. Because if you can't let private sector keep up mm-hmm. with the demands and the valuations that are clipping at a double digit rate, how do you expect those producers to even keep up right. or business owners? So there has to be some limitations on how some of those government entities grow, the percentage of what they grow. State government needs to be kept in check. But then we really need to tackle the structure itself, because right now there's a huge disconnect between rural Nebraska and urban Nebraska. And to me, it all lies with the education issue.
Absolutely. So in that, when you were talking about taxes, inheritance tax, that's the one that kind of hits close to me, because we're going through, you know, some things and, you know, you get some of these families, I mean, they build up their whole life and then generations. And then right now, some of the taxes, I mean, you're looking at some 4 and 5 generation families that just can't afford it.
It's sold. Well, and we're one of only a few states that even tax that. You know, we're always, you know, Nebraska's unique. With the Unicam.
Where are we?
Yeah.
But we're all over the board on a lot of these things. Yeah. And usually the best answer is the simplest answer. And that usually means just putting more money in the pockets of individuals. You know, you have the inheritance tax. That is something I've signed on to mm-hmm. eliminate. And we're going to continue to pursue that to try to eliminate that. But that's just one piece of the problem. And we've tackled some of the things the last couple of years. In particular, military retirement is now gone. We won't tax that. I passed the bill this last year to phase out the tax on Social Security income.
Well, that hits home, too. my wife's going to... Yeah. Tail on our age, yeah, she's just going to turn 62 here in a month. And we've been talking about, yeah, she's going to start taking out. I said, honey, you better start taking it out now. You know,
might not be there.
You're not. Right? You might not be there, and you might not be here. So, you know.
Yeah, and it's one of those things. And not only that, but you have outside influences right. like the federal government exactly. that are now proposing possible elimination of step up and cost basis would be extremely devastating to the state of Nebraska. I'm talking about family farms mm-hmm. and ranches, it would kill us.
Oh,
and so you know, as a state, you know, I believe in states' rights and making sure that if the federal government is mandating or overstepping their bounds, that we step in yeah. with the attorney general.
We can get into a whole bucket of words with that, right?
And sometimes
now.
We're going to need to do those things and take bold action to protect Nebraskans. And that's not only taking it on the state level of restructuring mm-hmm. this to make sure we're fair and competing. I mean, ultimately, this comes down to making sure Nebraska compete on not only a national level, but an international
right.
level. And that is what we will be engaged in moving through this process
awesome.
And come January 2023.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, because, I mean, we all know what happened with this, what happened yesterday when the leader gets on TV and says he's running out of patience with us and he's going to mandate stuff. Right?
Well, you know, I think, you know, speaking of that on like a federal level, though, but we have our own state issues too, but speaking of that mandate, you know, just to touch that a little bit, the U.S. government is suing the state of Texas right now for mandating something based on science.
Yeah.
And then they're mandating now based on, you know, it's just the stuff does not make sense.
Yeah.
You know, it's just crazy.
Yeah, we could.
But, you know, on a state level, though, when we're talking about inheritance tax, there's all these federal things coming through and everything. Who trumps who? I mean, like, can't we pass stuff legislatively to protect our state?
We can, and we can go through the process of suing the federal government, which
yeah.
we will
Would
go through that process. Absolutely. I mean, this is one of those things where yeah. this Biden and putting this mandate, I mean, it's unconstitutional.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's when the state steps up and said it done out. I mean, I'm a big believer in states' rights. It's how our country was set up, and that's why we have the country that we have. So when it comes down to federal overreach, yeah, the state needs to step up. But we have our own problems at the state level, right? We can address mm-hmm. those, but we don't need the federal government to
exactly
throw other wrenches yeah. in this whole endeavor. Exactly. And we'll take care of those things.
How much authority does a state have over the federal government?
Well, if they mandate something, not mandate, but say the federal tax code, they can, again, it comes down to power and money. So if they're saying, hey, you know, Nebraska or any other state, do this or else we're not going to supply you X or dollar mm-hmm. amounts, that's where they provide some of the leverage. Mm-hmm. The pushback that the state can have is working with states like South Dakota or Texas or Florida or some of these other states that are like-minded that say, hey, we want states' rights. This is where the governor and the attorney generals get together and pony mm-hmm. up and say, all right,
mm-hmm.
come at us.
Why I ask that is because I don't think on the federal level this processing thing is going to change much. Can't we pass stuff where it doesn't work in Nebraska, right? You know, you hear these laws these states pass that for like social media, they say, Twitter's no longer allowed in our state. Twitter's no longer allowed in our country. Can't we do things where we have our own law in the state of Nebraska where the price fixing is not allowed here, right? That, you know, what can we do on a state level for even outside of the beef stuff? There's a lot of things that we might want to be doing as a state right now. I told you, you know, you were talking about what your taglines might be.
Oh. Yeah.
And I was like, build a wall around Nebraska. Because it's like, what are we going to do to protect our state? And it's like, protect Nebraska, right?
Yeah.
Preserve Nebraska. We have our own messes that we need to fix too, just like every state. But what can we do as a state to protect ourselves from a lot of this stuff coming through?
Well, unfortunately, there is an element of having the federal government that can determine a lot. And so as states, we can pass those bills. A lot of things that we do, the federal government has left up to states' rights. Not everything, but if enough states pass bills and do these things, I mean, ultimately, if you really want to go down the rabbit hole, you can talk about the Convention of the States. I mean, that's part of the Constitution mm-hmm. in Article 5. And if enough states get together, they can actually amend the U.S. Constitution or call for a convention of the states. I mean, it's a little bit harder road to go down, but the founding fathers set that up to make sure that there were outlets. There were certain.
It's amazing how smart they were back then.
I mean, really. I mean, it's pretty amazing to know that they were thinking that far ahead. I mean, but humans don't change. Just no. Circumstances and environments can change, but humans don't. And it's always, again, always looking through the prism of, okay, who the power and the money, where's it going, and how this goes. I try to make my decisions based on how does it affect, say, an example of me and my wife sitting around a kitchen table. We have three young kids, 10, 8, and 5. How does this affect me? How does this affect families across the state? If you work from the bottom up and think about is this good or bad for that family? Is this good or bad for Nebraskans? You can make better policy decisions and better decisions as a whole instead of going, well, you know, the government can step in and fix it. Now, we can walk alongside at times and eliminate certain things and red tape, but really it comes down to how can mom and dad in this case make the best decisions for their kids, whether it's education or providing opportunity to them or explain to them with, you know, talk about the State Board of Education interfering with things. You know, those are the things that mom and dad should be making the decisions on, not government. And if you come from that angle on it, most things, we'll be okay.
Okay. Cool. Mike, is there anything else pressing you right now?
No, I'm just happy to be here with you guys, you know. I needed to get some of this out.
Good.
It's been bothering me. I hear about it a lot. Yeah. You know,
this is a great platform to get it out. And Brent, is there anything? I mean, I'm going to put this out there right now. You got an open invitation to give us a call. Come in if you want to put anything else out. Other issues you want to talk about between, you know, what's the timeline on the campaign? What's that look like? How's this all going down?
So we've been out for 7 weeks, traveling state, but we'll have May of next year is the primary.
May of next year is the primary. Right.
And so if anyone wants to, just engage in a conversation or send us, you know, information, you can find us on Facebook under just Brett Lindstrom, BRETTLINDSTROM.
Okay.
On Twitter. VoteLindstrom.com, and then I'm pretty easy to find on Google as well.
Awesome.
Just Google. But any help, any support on that, we very much appreciate. And no, I'm excited. Every day is better than the last day, and we're going to do good things and big things for Nebraska.
Awesome. Well, we really appreciate you coming in today and kind of laying some of this stuff out. So obviously this podcast goes to more than just Nebraska, but it's good for other states to hear, but it's really great for the people in Nebraska to hear kind of, cause this is an important election coming up for us. Cause there's a lot of stuff, going on and people need to get involved, with it and see what's going to happen. So, I'd really admire your energy, work ethic and willingness to come in here. And because we didn't tell you what we were going to talk, you were just like,
let's
do this. So, and I know you've got a packed schedule, so you got a few more appointments to meet today. So, thanks so much for coming in today.
Thank you. I really enjoyed spending time with you guys, it's always good to talk. And you know, anything I can do I just still have 60 days left in the legislature, so anything I can do to.
And that amazes me. This is going to be a term limits out, and you're just 40 years old.
How do we get something on the floor before your full-blown campaign? I mean, can we do anything?
Oh, yeah, in January.
Good.
Yeah. We'll be rolling out a few things. You know, I think strategically what makes sense to me is anticipating, you know, being successful in this this journey. And we can lay some groundwork here in this last session anyway to make sure that we're rolling in. Because it's not – time is of the essence.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of urgency to do this. This isn't, we can just sit back, talk about it anymore and wait and come up with ideas. It's action. And so the faster we can get fixing these things, the better it is for everybody. And that's why we got to make sure that we have this rolled out ASAP.
Perfect. So anybody listening want to get hold of Brent or see him, you know, obviously it's Brent Lindstrom on Facebook.
Yep.
And what's your website again, Brent?
VoteLindstrom.com.
VoteLindstrom.com. So I encourage everybody to go there. Check that out. Any questions, I can tell you firsthand, he's more than willing to sit down, talk to you on the phone or do whatever. But folks, get involved. If you have anything, you know, get involved. Don't just sit on the sidelines. These are important times in Nebraska and the whole nation. So thanks again, everybody, for listening to The Bullpen, and we'll catch you next time.
a Hurrdat Media production.